Chapter 15.
Ulanor, Gorkagrod. The Fists Exemplar and those of the 7th Legion that were their genetic forebears had fought in some of the Imperium's defining battles. They had defended Terra from the arch-enemy, fought in the Consus Drift campaigns. Oryax Dantalion himself had been at the Primarch's side through the slaughter of the Iron Cage. But Maximus Thane doubted that so much honour had ever been earned by so few as during the second battle for Ulanor. He wondered if enough of them would be alive at the finish for their exploits to be remembered half as long as those names of legend. It had been assault marines of the 7th Company, in concert with their brothers of the Black Templars, that had taken the fight to the primary fortress blocking the palace's eastern aspect and broken it open. It had been bike squads, led by Forgemaster Aloysian, that had led the Aurora Chapter tanks through the Orcs' minefield and allowed them to crack the Greenskins' defensive lines of trenches and bunkers. When an armoured witch tower, wreathed in green lightning and trundling forward on massive tracks, had delivered the death blow on Decimus Ordinatus and turned its psychic fire upon the Deathwatch vehicles, it had been Brother Sergeant Aquino of the Second who had led the kill squad of Sisters of Silence to nullify it from within. The galaxy would never again know his like. As for Thane himself, he was too humble to keep a personal tally, but his helm display recorded it for him. 318 kills for 319 rounds expended. It had been him to lead the sortie that crippled the Orcs' flak guns, and him that then called down the finishing blow. The Icarus supercarrier, several kilometres of run strip mounted over many windswept tiers upon two sets of awesome tracks, had been held in reserve with a field legatus leviathan and escort. Scant minutes after Thane's voxed authorization, dozens of low-flying marauder bombers and vulture gunships had turned what remained of the palace approach to ash and glass, dust under a space marine's boot. There had been nothing left but a handful of survivors crawling cockroach-like in the rubble of apocalypse to prevent the 112 demolisher siege tanks of the Ulanor veterans forming up into one long, slowly advancing firing line and opening up against the palace's outer wall with the full fury of mankind. The Orcs' fortification was staggeringly vast. Super-hard metals plated its sloped face. Energy fields flickered in ugly opposition to the shells and explosions that broke along its length. Fixed gun turrets raked the ground, even as shield overloads drove cracks through ablative plating and exposed bare rockcrete to the massed gunnery of the Astra Militarum. The wall crumbled. Maximus Thane was the first to cheer. Everything started to move forwards. On first impression, it was as though the planet's artificial tectonics were undergoing one of their gross-scale rearrangements. But the sky was still. The ground was still. It was everything else that was moving. Every man, every vehicle was suddenly rushing towards the breach in the wall as though the planet was a void ship and they had just punched a hole in their own hull. Those that had been closest to the breach were the first to enter. No deeper thought went into it than that. They were the Orcs now. A tactical squad of excoriators advanced through the rubble into a pall of dust that sparked with torn electrics and bolter fire. The grey ceramite block of Venerable Otho moved with them, crunching forward, figure of eighting spirals of fire, spraying from the dreadnought's heavy flamer. Thane joined the headlong rush over the shattered cityscape, unloading his bolter onto the breached section of wall, wildly skewing his accuracy ratios, though he did not care. The urban terrain was post-apocalyptic, masonry in jagged lumps as though cut from passing asteroids and dropped from the sky, dismembered statues of armoured orcs 50 metres high and brandishing chain axes and heavy weapons. Vehicle wrecks blackened, on their sides or in pieces, bunkers with smoke pouring from gun slits. A chimera ground over the loose earth on rattling metal treads, noisily passing Thane as he ran through a jumble of rockcrete blocks and wire. It had become separated from the rest of its armoured fist squadron by the terrain, slowed, but was steadily growling through the gears as it rumbled over the last of the major blast craters and saw open ground. Thane turned and chased it, up a wobbling ramp of metal sheeting and onto the roof of a bunker. The Chimera was just accelerating away as Thane leapt, arms pulling on air as if to drag him forward, and thumped onto its armored back. His boots made a hollow clang. The vehicle's acceleration almost pitched him backwards, but he activated Maglock to secure himself, swayed, then clumped forwards to grab hold of a handrail that circled the turret cupola. One-handed, he ejected the hot-sickle magazine from his bolter and punched the weapon against his ammo belt to insert a fresh one. The Chimera gave a crunching, low-gear roar as it hit the rubble section of wall, crashed through a meter-thick spit of standing masonry at the summit, and then slewed freely, almost sideways, into the palace's outer bailey. It trembled on its suspensors and then growled forwards in search of a site to unload. Its spotlight blinked on, a high-wattage lumen bulb spearing white light into the murk. Hull-mounted lasguns pivoted and fired. Its turret multilaser traversed, cables swaying, and split the air with a crackling volley of beams. Thane deactivated Maglock and jumped down, crunching into gravelly ground as the Chimera reversed its tracks to pivot on the spot, spraying las beams, and then rumble off in a new direction. He swung up his bolter and started firing. Dust hung over everything. Spilled blocks cluttered the ground. A randomized topography of foxholes and trenches through which orc and man waged recreations of greater wars. Shield emitters, torn from the wall, struggling for function, flooded the air with sparks and fire. Landmines geysered tanks and rockcrete high into the air. Unexploded munitions went off. Distant walls, thicker, higher, more heavily defended, even than those that had just been broken, echoed to the reports of gunfire. Thane drilled an orc through the neck, splattered its blood over a rockcrete block, got another in the knee, stepped on its chest and shot a bolt between its eyes. A roar. An orc ripped through the smog, swinging an axe. Thane sided the blade on his bolter. The weapons came apart with a ring of metal, leaving shocked fingers. The orc blundered through into Thane and knocked them both to the ground. Icons flashed up minor damage, servos whirred, and Thane struggled to his feet. The orc smashed into him again, but this time Thane was ready. He brought up his dented bolter and put four rounds point-blank into the orc's chest. It exploded, wetly separating legs from head, and Thane thumped the bolter's heavy stock, a crushed bolt round spitting from the sickle magazine. Umbra pattern. Practically indestructible. As close to a chapter symbol as the fist's exemplar came. Armored warriors of the Excoriators and Black Templars surged past him, war cries reverberating from helmet voxcasters. Those in ivory and red advanced into orc fire in disciplined lines, like one-man tanks, laying down withering volleys as they moved. Their brothers moved in fits and bursts, pausing to hack through orc counters with gladius and power sword before dashing on. "All units forward!" Thane yelled, amping his helmet's voxcaster to maximum and striding up onto the silver-blue carcass of an Imperial Knight for a better view. His auto-senses did their best to filter out the interference, figures emerging from the fog like black ghosts in a purgatory of grey, filled in with Auspex-generated outlines that struggled to keep up. Assault Marines and Astra Militarum sappers assaulted the walls. He could see the controlled flare of jump packs, the sputter of portable shield racks, the cry and boom of ordnance pouring off the walls. Massed tanks growled together in the lee, recoil rocking them back as they slammed high-explosive shells into the base. There was no time to regroup and adopt a more considered approach. They had pushed through the orcs, yes, but they had certainly not beaten them. There were millions of fresh fighters out there, caught out of position by Thane's flank attack, that were probably being piled into trucks and raced into new positions at the army's rear even now. The only option was to push forward, to break the orcs' second wall before they could be smashed against it. It was not war as the doctrines of Dorne or even Gilliman would have it, but it was exhilarating. Everyone, Thane decided, should push forcibly against their nature at least once before the finish. He turned to look up at the wall itself, just as a lobbed shell, trailing spurts of fire from an overpowered rocket, smashed through the top of a struggling Shadow Sword tank and blew it to pieces before its main gun had a chance to fire. Black Templars wearing bulky jump packs held a beachhead on the parapet, backs forced to the rampart by several mobs of huge orcs in steam-powered armor suits. As he watched, a boss orc with a shrilling buzzsaw and a pair of dribbling flamers bolted to its gauntlet, chewed through a space marine's right-hand jet flue and butted him off the parapet. The warrior broke on the rockcrete lumps below. One breach was all they needed. Just one. Sub-vocalizing to his armor's simplistic spirit, he called up the army's general channel to coordinate some of the firepower that was laboring up towards the walls, and winced at the unexpected onslaught of orcish voices that emerged from his earpiece. Blink scrolling through the frequencies found them all similarly blocked. Thane's best supposition was the Greenskins were using the full wavelength to coordinate their own unruly defense rather than actively blocking the Imperial's communications. He set his vox to active scan, the exquisite properties of his Lyman's ear allowing him to filter the overlapping noises into distinct sounds. He could not make out any specific headquarters location from background sounds, nor could he understand the language, but there was one voice amongst the profusion that he knew immediately, as though a recognition marker had just flagged it up on his helm display. It was guttural, unclean, the loudest and most strident, and also the deepest, as though delivered from a chest wider than the armored body of a dreadnought. The beast was near. There was a loud roar of freshly gunned engines and an exuberant hammering of gunfire that chewed into the crumpled shoulder of the knight that Thane was standing on. Before he could think, battle-bred instincts loosed a four-round trigger squeeze in the right direction, the bolts spanking off the snarling front radiator of a half-track, laden with burly close assault fighters. A dozen more of the ramshackle vehicles roared up behind it, packed with troops and guns, mouldings plastered with dust, powering up through a sally port under the wall that had been partially blocked with spoil and debris. "Orc vehicles inbound from a tunnel in grid section Epsilon 9, Thane voxed, jumping down from the shoulder of a knight and pushing his bolter round its chewed-up rear plating, then returning fire. If any of his units were holding open comms under that Xenos diatribe, he had no idea, or if they would be able to hear him if they were, but he had little option but to try. "Surrounding sections, hold and counter. Repeat, hold and counter. Take that tunnel." Concentrated fire drove Thane back into cover. They were not aiming at him, of course. He was one space marine sheltering behind a wreck, and a fist exemplar, indistinguishable in undecorated ceramite from any battle brother under his command. Sparks rattled across the glacis plate of the drab-grey predator tank that rolled over the tangled rubble at walking speed, keeping step with the combat squads of Fist's exemplar advancing under the cover of its guns. A blast of its twin-linked las cannons slagged a high-sided armoured truck. Return fire cost it its left sponson and a turret antennae cluster. It growled to a stop, the space marines taking up positions around its bulk and laying down fire. Thane recognized Cahagnis, Abbas, Agrippus and his autocannon, Thamarius and Xeres. Brother Apothecary Antonius of the Excoriators knelt by the Predator's ruined gun, Narthesium buried in the neck of fallen Sardonis, a plasma burn where an arm and a large part of a chest should have been. Thane pulled himself in behind the body of the knight, taking advantage of the cover to pull his mistreated bolter to his chest, eject the sickle magazine and slam in a fresh one with a red strip along the base to indicate that it contained armor-piercing vengeance rounds. He could feel the ding of bullets striking the far side of his cover. He could hear the rumble of engines getting louder. He stepped out of cover, side on, bolter swinging upwards in one smooth motion in time with the flashed appearance of that overloaded half-track. He prepared to fire, but before he could rake the speeding vehicle's flank with bolts, he felt a hot downwash of air, like a fiery hand pressing down from above, and the half-track drove into a wall of heavy weapons fire. Quad-linked heavy bolters tracked back and forth, shredding the vehicle like paper. Thane dropped to one knee and turned his head away as a quartet of Hellstrike missiles dropped from the black-painted Thunderhawk's underwing hardpoints, flared, and then whistled through the vehicle formation, sending metal plates and smouldering remains billowing skyward. Ground dust blew out from the lowering Thunderhawk in ripples, tied to the cycling of its engine fans. It hovered above the height of its landing struts and dropped its doors, squads of inquisitorial stormtroopers in glossy black carapace and visors tramping down the assault ramp and into a covering posture around the gunship. Thane saw another blunt wedge of black armour thunder overhead, strafing the ground with heavy bolters and turbo lasers, with flak from wall-mounted air defences lighting up its aerofoil. His Voxbeed gave a long, power-boosted whine, and the orcish voices receded. "Lord Thane," said a female voice, "this is Venand. Are you hearing me now?"
"I hear you."
Thane ducked back into cover as a third gunship powered in low, spraying dust and gravel. He did not ask what the Inquisitor was doing here when she had been directly instructed to remain behind the lines. She had followed her own counsel as any Fist Exemplar would have.
"I did not realize we had any kill teams still airborne."
"We have some remarkable pilots."
"The beast is near, Inquisitor. He is directing the defenses himself, probably on short-range comms. Do you think your pilots are good enough to get us over the walls?"
The line went quiet a moment, presumably while the Inquisitor conferred with her squad. It crackled back to full static force.
"Lord Aetherius tells me that he is excited to try